You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are looking live at the Museum of Graffiti in the Wynwood neighborhood of Miami. Here with Jake Butts, the former Michigan tight end and Mackey Award winner. I don't know why. I still can't talk. Anyway, we're here live. We've got a live audience. It's the first time in the Locked On Wolverines podcast that we are doing so. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire. And we might have something to talk about, Jake. What do you think?
Well, hopefully this is our second to last pregame show. You know, hopefully, you know, we're going right through the heart of the SEC, the best two they have to offer. It's a big matchup against Georgia. This will be the best defense we face all year. I think we got a really good chance, though, and I'm excited to watch.
You know, and you mentioned, like, this is going to be the best defense we faced that Michigan has faced all year. I think it's a little bit of a different animal, but I still, like, when I look at this game, I have a lot of confidence in the Michigan offense. Maybe I should not. But when you think about the fact that Michigan's faced Wisconsin, who technically has the best overall defense when it comes to yards surrendered, you look at Penn State, who ranks really high when it comes to the analytics, you look at Iowa, who was giving up next to nothing, Michigan still was able to break open some big plays. What's your thoughts about Michigan having been tested already going into a game like this?
They've been tested. And I think the thing is Michigan's shown success, you know, throughout the season. But for me, what really matters is the big moments. Did they show up in the biggest moments? Even though we fell short in Michigan State, that offense had a great day. Ohio State, a really, really big game. Obviously, it's our rival. We got to get the monkey off our back. The offense performed well. Big Ten championship. Sometimes after an emotional win, you know, there's a letdown. They showed up and played almost flawlessly. So they've proven that they can execute in the big moments. This will obviously be our biggest test. This will be Georgia's biggest test. Something's got to give, but this offense hasn't showed me any reason to not have confidence in them.
And you know what? One other reason why I have a lot of confidence in Michigan, and it's because of Georgia. How many times have I've said it to you, anyone who's listened to the podcast the last several years has heard me say, Georgia loves to fall apart in the big games. It's what they do. They're like the Spider-Man. Like, I mean, that's what Michigan used to be, right? Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. But Michigan's got that monkey off its back this year between Wisconsin going on the road and playing at Wisconsin, Penn State. That's the type of game that y'all and once upon a time probably would have lost, especially against a team that's as good as Penn State.
Yeah.
You look at Nebraska. And then, obviously, Ohio State, Iowa. How much do you think that Michigan, especially when you look at Georgia, they lose these big games. The one time that they finally got to play against a really good team, Alabama, they lose.
Yeah.
There are other teams that their signature wins are Arkansas, Kentucky. You think that's really enough to, like, really give them that big game moment?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Alabama game, and I think that tells a lot because Alabama is now the number one rated team in the country. But they struggled. They lost to Texas A&M. They struggled against a poor Auburn team. So if that's the best the SEC has, I have a little bit more confidence. But Georgia's been here. Michigan hasn't. I like to think of the analogy like a lion in the wild that just ate a big meal. He's sleeping. He's taking a nap. He's been here. Michigan is a pack of starving hyenas, man. When you haven't had this opportunity, you understand what this moment means. It's very fleeting. We haven't been here. This is our first trip to the college football playoff. I'm looking for these guys to come in and play their best game of the season and ultimately win to go on to the national championship.
And, you know, I'm totally 100% with you. I think one of the things that, like you mentioned, Michigan hasn't necessarily been here, Georgia has, but one of the things that I think goes in Michigan's favor in this game is the fact that Michigan has had all the momentum in the world, right? And Georgia's coming off a loss. I know there's some time that's elapsed between the Big Ten championship game and this point, but Jake, you're someone who has the experience. What's it like, because you've come off some Ohio State losses and then had to go into the bowl game. How much does that kind of stick with you? Or, like, conversely, say that was a win.
Yeah.
How much does that stick with you when you go into a big game like this?
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I do know momentum matters on a micro and a macro scale. Within the game, momentum matters. Within the season, momentum matters. And it seems Michigan is continuing to play their best football week over week. Josh Gattis has been calling some of his best games down the season. Coach McDonald calling some of his best games defensively down the stretch of the season. Georgia seemed to flutter against Alabama. They had a chance to produce a flawless season, and they fell significantly short. Michigan is hot, and that kind of thing matters. So I think they're going to come into this game with a little bit more confidence. You know, Coach Harbaugh, you go into practice, when you win awards, Coach Harbaugh loves to celebrate and announce all the rewards. This team is decorated. A lot of players are getting recognized, Big Ten honors, All-American honors, individual honors, offensive line honors. It matters. These guys are hot right now, but they understand that there's more to be had. I think they're going to continue to raise the bar this week.
And I'm really curious to see if that momentum carries on from last 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, however long it's been, up until this point. And certainly this is going to be a very physical game. We're going to continue talking about this. We've got plenty to talk about it. But before we do, and for those who are here live, you get to see me fumble through an ad read. So here's how we do it. So this is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink at the championship is yours, but on the backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you are running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. So, like I said, over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. So for the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head over to netsuite.com/locked for this special one of a kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That's netsuite.com/locked. All right, everyone here, make a little bit of noise. Let them hear you. The first ever live version of Locked On Wolverines here with my partner over here, Jake Butt, the Mackey Award-winning tight end from Michigan. Y'all might have heard of him. I'm not sure. So Jake, you've played in this game. You've been down here to Miami. You've had to go through everything that comes with coming down to Miami, although no beach time, yeah. I don't believe, last time. It was a famous thing of Jim Harbaugh being asked that about you guys not getting to see anyone in bikinis. And it was all work and no play. They're spending a little bit more time getting to enjoy this. Knowing that you've had kind of the both scenarios over the course of your career, how much does that make a difference, do you think, just the fact that coming down, getting to kind of enjoy yourself, staying loose, compared to being strictly 100% all business the entire time?
I think that's one of the biggest stories this year, and it shows that Coach Harbaugh has really taken a step forward. You know, you peel back the layers and you understand when coach lets you go out and enjoy yourself, there's that trust. Hey, coach, you trust that we're going to be responsible, that we're going to handle our business, and that we know when to have fun and when to go to work. This team has proven that all season. You got your leaders in, you know, offensively Cade McNamara, defensively Aiden Hutchinson. Those guys are the heartbeats of your team. Hey, you guys got the locker room. Let's go out. You know, when it's time to practice, it's time to practice. When it's time to meet, it's time to meet. But then there's a time to enjoy this because you guys have worked so hard all season. You got here for a reason. Let's have a little bit of balance. And ultimately, when the whistle gets blown, it's time to kick off, you'll be ready.
Now, if you talked about a lot of these macro things, let's get into the nitty-gritty of this game because obviously Georgia is a formidable opponent. We can sit there and say, yeah, Michigan should come out with the momentum. Michigan should have this. Georgia tends to love to just lose big games because it's kind of what they do. But nonetheless, you have to actually go out there and win it. When you start to look at this game, naturally everyone's eyes go towards the Michigan offense versus the Georgia defense. They're really stout against the run. They're also stout against the pass. We were calling them a historic defense up until the Alabama game.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this matchup, and how much confidence or lack of confidence do you have in Michigan being able to go out there and do what Michigan wants to do?
Yeah, so before the SEC championship game, Georgia's defense was giving up less than 10 points per game. It's unheard of. 3 rushing touchdowns allowed on the season. That's stellar. That's spectacular. So what does Michigan love to do? The exact opposite. We love to put up points and we love to run the ball. Something's got to give. So that's going to be the story of the day, is can Michigan's offense find some cracks in this Georgia defense? Can, you know, the defensive line start with Jordan Davis, number 99 on the inside? Can our double teams displace him and make him uncomfortable? Can we elongate drives, get to 8 to 10 points, and ultimately finish with touchdowns, not field goals? It's the same story as it's been all season, but this is obviously going to be the biggest challenge. If Michigan can get into that mid-20s, maybe low-30s point range, I think they can handle business and will ultimately win. But I think our defense, and we'll talk about that too, our defense has a good matchup against Georgia's offense.
Now, I think another interesting thing is hearing what Kirby Smart and some of these Georgia people have said all week. They haven't been asked about Michigan, by the way. It's been kind of weird. I'd sit there and all of our media availability has been on Zoom. I haven't necessarily been on them because of that, so we get a transcript. So I go and I look at the transcript, and I'm like, what do they have to say about Michigan? And they're not really being asked about Michigan. It's all about them in that light. But one of the things that they did say is it's really hard to bring down Michigan's running backs.
Yeah.
Now, what they are really good at is collapsing running lanes with using the linebackers. How much of a concern is that for you? And nonetheless, though, how good is it that Michigan has a couple guys that are really able to make guys miss?
Yeah, that's a nitty-gritty, kind of doesn't show up on the stat sheet part of the game where Hassan Haskins, Blake Corum, they very often make the first guy miss. And even if they do get tackled, they're falling forward. Those are 2-3 yard add-ons at the end of a play, and that adds on throughout the game. It counts for maybe another 30, 50 yards. That's 3 to 5 first downs that you're going to get throughout the game. So, again, this is the best defense they're going to face. I trust Hassan Haskins. I trust Blake Corum. Watching their film, I love when, you go back to that Northwestern clip when Hassan Haskins gets stoned and there's, 5 or 6 Northwestern defenders. But then the entire Michigan O-line and even Cade McNamara just starts pushing the pile and they get another 12, 15 yards. That's momentum building. So, I lean on the trust that these guys have built throughout the season. I haven't seen a team be able to stifle and stop our running backs, so I'm confident they'll be able to carry that on in this game.
One of the other things that I think really bodes well for Michigan as well on the offensive side of the ball is the diversity that Michigan has in playmakers, because Georgia hasn't necessarily seen a team that has this many different guys that get involved at any given point in time. I believe it was something like 17 or 18 pass catchers over the course of the year. And any given game, you look and usually see 8, 9. It isn't a situation like Ohio State where you can say, slow down Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, then you've got a shot. It's a different scenario because if they all right, you shut down Cornelius Johnson a little bit, congratulations, there's still Andrell Anthony. You shut him down, congratulations, you still have to go, get Mike Sainer still. And then there's Eric Ball, the tight ends. Yeah. Obviously, you love the tight ends. How much of a factor does that play that Michigan has so many different players that they can't just hone in on one or two guys? They have to defend literally everybody.
So an interesting stat I came across the other day is our offensive weapons, a number of them, multiple of them, I think 5+, are having career season bests this season. That means not just one or two guys is playing their best ball, a multitude. Any guy that's getting, their number called each week is having a career best each day. So it's been fun to watch them go out there. I think that's been their best attribute this season is each week a new guy is stepping up. Whoever it is, when you try to focus on one guy, another guy steps up. We have a lot of weapons, and this is another one of those games we're going to need everybody to be at their best, and I think we will.
And so let's switch gears, because obviously, even though that's the side of the ball that everyone's really interested in, I think that the Michigan defense against the Georgia offense is an unheralded matchup.
Yeah.
I'd love to give a lot of smack to Barrett Salee from SiriusXM and CBS Sports, because he was unconcerned. He said all Georgia has to do is show up and Stetson Bennett can go and do whatever he wants. They don't need JT Daniels. Yeah. They can just do whatever they want. I think this is where the game is won or lost, is Michigan defense. Georgia is not nearly as explosive as Michigan, despite the fact that people like to say it, that they're very similar offensively with the ground and pound and things of that nature. You've got guys that you were just talking pre-show about, Brock Bowers and what he brings to the table. They've got a really good offensive line. Obviously, they want to run the ball primarily. What are your thoughts on how Michigan's defense matches up against the Georgia offense?
To say that Georgia's offense shouldn't have concern against our defense is laughable, because the film doesn't lie. You look at Ohio State's offense, which has been one of the most explosive offenses in the country. What we were able to do was really shut them down, and they made some spectacular plays in that game. They were really having to reach deep in their pocket to elongate drives and the one-handed catches and you know, catching it behind our defenders' back. They had to do some spectacular things to even reach the amount of points that they were able to reach in that game. Now, Georgia doesn't have the weapons that Ohio State has. Now, their tight end is a concern. I think Brock Bowers is going to be the key to this game, is can we shut him down? Usually when you have a tight end and they like to line him up at receiver, slot receiver, tight end off the ball, sometimes at fullback, he lines up all over the field. He's a real weapon. And it's a comfortable pass as a quarterback to just hit a big target, you know, a wide catch radius. If we can shut him down, that makes the quarterback uncomfortable. If we can get our guys, which we have all year, Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo, coming off the edge and making the quarterback uncomfortable in the pocket, whoever it is for Georgia, I think we'll have a lot of success.
And no matter how good that Georgia offensive line is, we've seen Aiden have success against some pretty good offensive tackles, whether it's Jackson Kirkland from Washington. I remember my conversation with Anthony Treese from Pro Football Focus saying single-handedly tanked his draft stock. We saw him make Nicholas Petit-Frere, another first-round type of talent from Ohio State, look absolutely foolish when he got pancaked. So I feel like that is obviously something that Michigan still has an advantage, because they've seen those first-round type yes. guys. And Salyer hasn't played for the last several weeks, so he comes back. And they've got to try to account for Aiden, and then Ajabo's waiting there on the other side. You can't just go for one, because there's two guys that can really hurt you. That's weirdly, though, not the position group that I'm most concerned with. I've been saying all week, I feel like if Michigan is going to win this game, it's going to be very heavily dependent on what the linebackers do. What are your thoughts about that matchup, Michigan's linebackers versus the Georgia offense?
So the big advantage our linebackers have is we have a talented defensive line. So what that means is the offensive line and tight ends are going to have to account two of their men for one of our defensive linemen. Aiden Hutchinson, if you leave him one-on-one, he's going to terrorize him. So that means your tight end and your tackle have to account for him. That gives freedom for your linebackers to hit the holes. And really, down the stretch of the season, they've improved their tackling. Usually when they have an opportunity to make a play, they make the play. Our safeties are good tacklers. Our cornerbacks have shown that they come up and make tackles as well. So it's kind of the same recipe. It's not a mystery. You have to go out there and take advantage of the opportunities that come your way. So, I think some of those guys, Josh Ross, Junior Colson, if they can come in and have a big day, you know, 8-10 tackles. You usually want your linebackers to lead the team in tackles, not your secondary.
Right.
If it's your secondary, that means they're making plays downfield. If it's your linebackers and D-linemen, usually that means you're stopping them for short gains or tackling them in the backfield. So I would agree. If our linebackers have a big day, that usually means that we're, you know, having a good day collectively as defense.
I certainly think I expect to see Junior Colson on Brock Bowers quite a bit, especially we'll see what happens with Daxon Hill. At the time of this recording, 4:42 p.m. Eastern Time. That we don't know yet the official status of Daxon Hill, who last I heard on Monday was still back in Ann Arbor. And as far as we know now, still back in Ann Arbor. Maybe he's on a flight here. If Daxon can't go, how big of a loss is that for Michigan against this Georgia offense?
Listen, I go back to the Michigan State game and I sent out a tweet. I said, no one's coming to save us. You know, no one's coming to rescue us. It's us versus the world. That's the mentality. You see the guys wearing the Michigan versus everybody shirts. That has to be your mentality. Listen, COVID's COVID. If you didn't prepare for something like this or expect something like this to happen, that's a lack of leadership. You have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, right? Everybody's dealing with these kind of issues. It's across basketball, it's college, it's professional, it's football, it's all sports. So of course this was gonna happen. Next man up. Next man up. You're not gonna, you know, say what if or I hope or I wish we didn't have to deal with this. It's the reality. So whether he plays or he's not, someone's gotta step up. You have a collective defense of 11 guys. You lean on one another. Who matters who's on the field? I think they can do it, man. It starts with Coach McDonald, who gives you the way he's been calling plays. He gives you a pre-snap schematic advantage. So I'm looking for him to call a good game and put whoever it is on the field in the right position.
Now, do have some breaking news here as being broken by Sam Webb. He does say that two sources have told him that Daxon Hill will play in the game on Friday. So we will see it. It's literally coming through right now. So we're going to continue. We're going to try to take questions, but I don't know how this is going to work here because audio is everywhere. We're going to try to take questions from the audience here for about 10 minutes. But before we do have to continue on by saying BetOnline.ag, they have you covered this entire holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football continues its march through the college bowl season and pro football playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head over to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus using the promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we are continuing, everybody. Let's hear some noise yet again. All right, we've got about 9 minutes before that camera over there shuts off on its own, so we're going to... That's all the time we're going to have. So let's take some questions in the audience from Jake. And let's start over here with Adam. Adam's going out yell at Nala.
Yeah, so two guys. Jordan Davis. I think it's N'Kobe. Is it Jones? N'Kobe Dean. So the Butkus winner, then Jordan Davis. How, one, do you run the ball up the middle effectively and neutralize them? And two, how do you defend them on a pass rush situation?
How do you also defend them in the pass rush situation?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's a challenge. You're not going to – it's like when you play really great players, you don't completely shut them down. You do the best to minimize their effect. And the advantage you have when you're going against an interior defensive lineman like Jordan Davis is you can, just as we just talked about, is put two of your offensive linemen against one D lineman. That's 600 pounds on 300 pounds. That's four hands on two hands. If you have the proper technique, you should never lose. You get hip to hip, you have good pad level, you lift his shoulder pads up, and you move him back off the line. It's timing. It's timing. So you understand where the running back is. You have an internal clock. You know Cade's dropping back, and there's about a second before he hands it off, and then there's another second before he hits the line of scrimmage. That first second, you're getting hip to hip and standing Jordan Davis up, and then you feel when the running back's going to get hit the hole. That's when you give one last push and come up and beat the linebacker, whoever it is. It's tough. It's not going to be perfect. They're going to win some. We're going to lose some. We're going to win some. They're going to lose some. But I think these guys are ready for the challenge. Don't forget, this was voted the best offensive line in the entire country. I think so, and I think we have to if we want to win. I think so. If we want to win, we have to.
All right, we've got time for about three, four more questions. Let's go with Eric over here.
Kind of a two-part question. First part is, and Jake, you can answer this, getting out to a big lead, you shot against Iowa early. What does it allow offense and defense to do as far as like game scheme is concerned? Get to get get your foot off the gas a little bit. And then secondly, Gattis has put a lot of trick plays and deception on film over the last few games. How confident are you that he's still got tricks up his sleeve, that we haven't seen yet?
So the question was, is how important is it to start fast? And it is extremely important to start fast because, especially in a big game like this, you've spent a couple weeks down, that first, quarter is really, really important. You want to, kind of shake off the cobwebs, get in a rhythm, and sometimes you really wonder how the game's going to go. So that early portion of the game kind of confirms your belief. Hey, Michigan, we think we actually can dominate up front, but we want to confirm that early in the game. If you get out to an early lead, that confidence just builds, saying we are who we say we are. And the other question was, how confident are we that Gattis can continue to, trick the defense with some trick plays? So you put some trick plays on film throughout the season. That's time during the week that Georgia has to spend prepping for those trick plays, right? So we understand that. But there's a multitude of ways that you can trick the defense. There's even misdirection, there's counter, there's wide receiver reverses, there's double passes. You've seen a couple flea flickers be done. I'm confident Josh Gattis is calling some of his best plays he has in his time at Michigan. I think he's going to continue that in this game.
I think one of the interesting things with that, too, when you look at things that he has set up, I mean, that first touchdown against Ohio State was a direct result of the game that Donovan Edwards had beforehand.
Right.
But now you have not only what Donovan Edwards did against Maryland, you have what happened against Ohio State. So now there's opens up multiple opportunities, and I do think that starting fast, I mean, if Michigan can get out to a 14-point lead, I know that's not insurmountable, but that will put Georgia at a supreme disadvantage, and certainly that's going to be the goal, is to try to get up there and do exactly that. All right, we got time for about two more questions. Who else? We got Drew back here. Come on up.
Hey, how we doing, Jake? Big fan, longtime fan. Just want to ask a quick question. So this team this year, this is Cade McNamara's team, but we still see that Jim Harbaugh lets J.J. McCarthy see the field sometimes. We know that J.J. had a few drives of his own in the OSU game. You know, he got to have some experience in the MSU game, even though he had his own fumble, his own mistakes, you know, just learning as a young quarterback. What role do you see J.J. McCarthy, if any, having in this game tomorrow? Do you think Harbaugh is still going to go with his gut and give him some drives, or do you think it's really just going to be Cade's team all game?
So I think the story here really is it's the leadership that these guys are showing. I'm not a fan of the two quarterback system. I think it gets guys out of rhythm. But you see, they celebrate each other's success. That's leadership. That's love. That matters. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The way we've been running our offense has been really, really successful. So I think the game plan would be to continue doing what we've been doing, and we'll adjust accordingly. JJ does some things that Cade may not do as well, and vice versa. So we'll see what we're able to do against the Georgia defense and adjust accordingly throughout the game. I think both guys will play a factor.
And plus, yeah, just the ability for him to run, that creates another element to the offense that Georgia would have to account for. And I think that's one of the maybe we'll see him pass. Maybe he'll run, obviously. But that gives just another element for Georgia to have to worry about. And that's just, again, speaks to the multiplicity. We have time for one more question. Anyone else have any questions? Any questions for Jake Butt?
Anyone got a question?
All right, well,
favorite memory from
while he was a student at Michigan?
Man, I'll say twofold. I think the coolest one was probably the Maryland game my senior year. I didn't know it at the time, but I broke the career record for receptions and yards. And I'm sitting in the huddle, and I could just get chills thinking about it. I heard the PA announcer go, and they put my picture on the screen, Jake Butt is now the career leader in receptions and yards. And I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I grew up a Buckeye fan, believe it or not. Don't hold that against me. I never in a million years had any idea what this maize and blue and the block M and the winged helmet would mean to me, but it means the damn world to me. And the crowd stands up and the buzz, and I remember Wilton was calling a play and he stopped for a second. Everyone was like, man, that's pretty damn cool. That was really, really cool. The last one was senior night. Being at Michigan, you would expect to play in some snow games. We didn't really play in snow games. We were playing Indiana. We needed to win. I didn't even have a big game that day, but it was a team win. We came together, and then it's the last moment in the big house, and the snow was falling. Guys are doing snow angels on the field. And I just laid there and took it all in, man. It's the same thing to just say, man, this university really took me in. And the love is reciprocated back, man. It was really, really cool. And still to this day, I take such pride in, you know, wearing the maize and blue and representing the Block M. And you guys are all part of this, so we appreciate it. I think they did, yeah. I was crying in warm-ups. They were playing all the tearjerker songs. I'm like, come on, who's DJing this? We were all crying. It was awesome.
All right, we've only got a couple more minutes. So, Jake, I think it's time for us to do a very quick prediction of what we expect to happen in this game.
So, again, it goes back to the momentum and what Michigan's body of work has spoken on. They're really hot right now. I think this offense is going to maybe not have their best game of the season. It's a really good defense, but you just need to play good enough to win. I think, again, if Michigan can get 25 points is my minimum. If we can get to 25, hopefully 30 points, I think our defense should be able to hold up well against their offense. My final score prediction is going to be 30-23 Michigan.
Getting up there in the score against the toughest scoring defense in the country, I don't think Michigan's going to get to 25 points. That said, I don't think it's going to matter. I have Michigan winning 24-17. I do think that they get the job done, advance to the college football playoff national championship. So for the Mackey Award-winning tight end, Jake Butt, I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hall, live here at the Museum of Graffiti in Miami, Florida. Thank you all for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon. Peace.